Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Are you mad at me?
No. Well, no. I was just supposed to go on a date with my girlfriend. It's fine.
I did something bad, you guys.
Guys, I got a text from Christine yesterday. And it just... Let me just read it to you.
Oh, no.
It made a good... Made me smile now, but...
Oh, no.
Then it did not. I got a text from her saying, M, you're going to stab me in the heart. And then she said, I don't even deserve you as a friend. And so being sarcastic, I said,
I thought you were totally serious.
Oh no, I was being sarcastic. And I was like, let me guess, it didn't record. And all I got was dot, dot, dot. And I was like, what the fuck? So basically Christine, our audio engineer,
dropped the ball. Here's what I have to say in my defense. When we recorded this episode the first time around, It was the first episode in over a year of this podcast that I did not have a drink in my hand.
Isn't that wild, guys?
The first time I've...
This is what happens when you're sober.
It's a big mistake. That was my first fucking mistake. And now we have to do it all over again. And guess what? I'm still fucking sober.
Yeah. How's that going, by the way, your Whole 30?
I'm doing a Whole 30 elimination diet for my stomach. I don't want to talk about it all over again like I did in the messed up recording, but point is I miss wine so much.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's a struggle. And yesterday was just proof that bad things happen
to good people, to sober people. Bad things happen to sober people.
So take this as a PSA.
Yes,
go drink something.
What should we talk about?
Well, here's what I'm gonna tell you.
Okay,
let's just say we gave Em a gift that a lot of listeners had contributed to that was Jess's idea from our secret Facebook group. And Em got to open it. And I recorded the whole thing and it was great. And obviously it got all fucked up. So I'm going to try and insert it here. So just be forewarned, the audio is crummy because it recorded through the through the laptop instead of the microphones. But I want to have Em's real reaction.
Okay.
So is that okay if I just insert
it? No, that's fine. Just sorry in advance that we sound like we're a million miles away. By the way, you know what's so funny is that we spoke into these microphones the entire time for literally like just novelty.
And it was recording over here in my computer.
All right. Anyway, here is the horrible version of my wonderful reaction.
It's something you mentioned a long time ago that you wanted.
Is this a thunder blanket?
It's a gravity blanket, yeah.
No way! Oh, it's so heavy!
I know.
Oh, this is gonna feel so good.
Everybody.
Oh, man!
Because you had mentioned it a long time ago, and everyone's like, we just need to make it happen for us.
This is so great! Oh my god, I'm so excited. This is so cool.
You should put it on while you record.
I'm trying to pick it up. This is really heavy. Did you guys get the heaviest one?
That's why I asked you for your weight the other day.
Oh, I thought you were just being a bitch.
Entirely possible.
I was like, I'm just going to roll with it.
Yeah, no.
Because you were like, what's your weight? It's a surprise. I was like, what the fuck does that
mean? I'm going to write it on a big poster and hang it up so where everyone can see it. Because I'm third grade.
Guys.
Megan, you're bully. Fucking Megan.
She smells like a dead fucking body. Guys, this is so nice. I still am trying to get it out of this box. This is amazing.
Yay.
You guys are so I don't deserve this at all. This is nice.
Okay.
Guys, that was so nice of you.
It was sweet.
Like, just so I can say it with clarity in my audio, it was the nicest, most random act of kindness. It was just, I was not expecting that. There was no reason for you guys to do that except just to make me happy. And
I also want to list the names one more time of who donated to it. A lot of people within 24 hours, the whole blanket was paid for.
That's amazing.
It was so sweet. So it was Jess's idea. She brought it to my attention. These are the people who donated: Carly, Michelle, Kyle, Sabrina, Hannah, Leslie, Anna, Suzanne, Regina, Nicolette, Shannon, Jamie, Ashley, Jamie, Lisa, Michelle, Anita, Elise, Leanne, Amanda, and Julie all contributed to it.
Amazing.
So kind.
Amazing.
And, I want to thank Jess for helping set that up. We still have her Crime Con GoFundMe going on the Facebook group. I just posted about it. If you can help get her to Crime Con so we can give her a big hug, that would be amazing.
Please help. We want to meet Jess so bad.
We really want her to come. And speaking of Crime Con, if you use our promo code ATWWD when you buy your badge, you will receive a surprise gift from us as well as a meet and greet with us, because we also want to give you a big hug.
We really do.
We want to meet you so badly.
Thank you guys for the year of commitment you've put into our show, and we haven't even met you yet, so we want to.
Yeah, we really do. And that's all I have to say.
Did you experience the earthquake?
When was that?
Okay, so no.
Wait, maybe I did.
Did you?
Because I thought something was shaking. Maybe that's why my bed
moved.
Wow!
That's what it was then.
That's what it was.
Was it at 2:16 in the morning?
Yes. I just told you it was like around 2, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was. Oh my God, I just told a whole ghost story. About how my bed
and
moved.
We just debunked it.
Damn it! I mean, good, but we told a whole story about how my bed shifted in the middle of the night and it was like shaking, and it turns out
it was an earthquake.
Oh man, I'm so stupid.
Well, no, because it was my first earthquake
really?
That I've felt. Yeah, and I was at Allison's. Actually, we had just recorded. It was the day that we recorded, right?
Yeah.
And
yes, yeah.
And so that after we recorded, I went to Allison's because her house is closer and it was already like midnight. And I couldn't sleep, and so I stayed up and I like watched Netflix or something like that, and around 2 a.m I was like, okay, I guess I should go to bed.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. And so I was lying down, and maybe 10 minutes into falling asleep, all of a sudden, like, I woke up to the craziest sound in the whole world. Like, it sounded like the world was opening up. It was just like boom.
Oh,
like,
I didn't hear that.
Oh no, we heard the whole thing. And well, we were only a mile away from it, 'cause it was in Silver Lake.
Oh,
was the epicenter. And so but like, we both woke up, and we're both really deep sleepers, so for both of us to wake up, I looked at her and I was like, did you feel that? And she was like, yeah. And I already knew she had to have felt it for us to be awake.
Yeah.
But like, I like, as we were lying there, she was like, what was that? And I was like, I think that was an earthquake. And I was like, what do we do? And she was like,
what do we do?
She was like, I think we stand in a doorway. And I was like, we're on the second floor. I'm not standing in a fucking doorway for this whole house to collapse on us. And so
that's why you stand in the doorway, because it doesn't collapse.
Well, also, like, we're right next to her front door and all that. So I was like, Allison, like, I'm not trying to be like that baby, but like, we're fucking leaving. And so I made her get up at 2:30 in the morning.
But
I
wasn't it already over?
Yeah, but I didn't know if there'd be like an aftershock or like if that was like the beginning of the end.
Oh my God.
Look, I watched a lot of like dystopian movies.
Crazy.
But so I assumed that like if there was one, there like it could just be like
You're not supposed to go outside in an earthquake. So I don't know what you two are doing, but read up on the.
They say stand in a doorway or like stand in your bathroom with a mattress over you or something like that. But I was like, I would rather at least be outside.
No, you're not supposed to be outside. That's where shit falls on you.
Well, whatever.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm glad you didn't die, and now I'm glad there's not a ghost shoving my bed in the middle of the night.
I thought it was a fucking ghost.
No, like, I saw everything, like, shaking and swaying in her room, and then, like, after we woke up, you could still feel, like, it felt like the bed was, like, on
vibrate.
Yeah, my
bed was vibrating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I really thought it was a ghost. Well, never mind.
All right, and that's why we drink.
And that's why we fucking drink. And that's why I don't drink. I drink LaCroix today.
Ugh, yeah.
Yuck. I love it, but I hate it at the same time because I miss wine.
One day when LaCroix is our sponsor, you'll hear us being like, we love LaCroix. It doesn't taste like backwash at all.
I mean, to be fair, I drink it constantly, and also you drink mine constantly. So
I do. Thank you for
so much.
Thank you for your purchase.
Also, I want to say that the original, a lot of people were like, we don't want to lose it and not hear it. And I'm like, all right, suit yourself. Sorry for your ears. But I am posting it on Patreon for those people who do want to hear it, because there are some fun rants and jokes and fun stuff in there that aren't going to make it into this episode, unfortunately.
And thank you for the for being a part of our Facebook Live today.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun.
That was very fun. People got a tour of our new studio.
Oh, yeah. If you're on Patreon and you missed it, you can go back and look and watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
We took you on a little tour of the house, and the cellar door opened by itself, just saying.
Yep, and we showed the cellar. We showed what it looked like in there.
And the podcast studio all done up.
Yep.
So feel free to go check that out. Also, this episode, I'm putting it out literally after we record, so there's going to be minimal editing, so I apologize in advance.
Yep.
We'll just see how it goes.
So if you hear coughing or if you hear Gio's footsteps, just know that would have been edited out.
But we're doing this.
It's like a practice live episode.
Yeah, exactly. There's some M throat clears going on.
I clear my throat a lot. You guys don't actually know how often.
I actually find the wavelength. I know what it looks like on Audacity, and I clear them out. So
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But
here one comes.
That's the one.
Yep.
Get ready for that.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. Any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code ATWWD to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
All right. Are we ready to go?
I'm ready. Are we, like, pretending to react?
I feel like I kind of forget what the hell we even talked about, so we can at least, I mean, we don't have to pretend, but I'm going to still be like, oh, wow.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still going
to like,
be...
I was like, how much do... That was my real question, I guess. How much do you remember? Like, am I... Because, like, the shock factor isn't there anymore, you know?
I know. I fucked up big time.
It's okay. They'll be shocked. Guys, we're relying on your gasps for this.
Okay.
So get ready.
I'm going to react anyway because I just feel like it.
Okay. I'm going to react to yours too because I'm not too sure what we talked about either.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
This is a real look into what...
Sorry.
We're sorry.
So this is the story of the Congress Plaza Hotel in Chicago.
I remember that.
And now do you remember how you are affiliated with the Congress Plaza Hotel?
H.H. Holmes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not affiliated.
Oh.
But...
H.H. Holmes, this is one of the hotels that he supposedly walked through, like, through the lobby regularly to search for women.
To, like, lure his victims.
And
what
he...
a fucker.
Also, what is the sound?
I'm sorry, a guy's soldering his gate outside.
Okay, so before we get a whole lot of guff about the audio still being bad, it's not us, it's our fucking neighbor. And by our, I mean Christine's.
I was just going to let it go, but...
All right. So anyway, yes, this is one of the hotels of H.H. Holmes, although... Other people have said that this isn't the actual hotel. It's, like, actually a couple blocks away.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I'm for the sake of the story, I'm going to call it the H.H. Holmes Hotel.
Let's go with it. Let's roll with it.
Let's just see where that takes us.
Let's roll with the win.
So, this hotel was built in 1893, and it was originally called the Auditorium Annex.
Again, I said this last time, not as cool of a name.
I don't think so either. It was built for the World's Fair in Chicago. And my favorite thing about this story is that there's no, like, bullshit history. Like, this this just goes straight into the murders.
We love
and
that.
The deaths and we the ghosts. That. So that was literally that one bullet, 1893, built for the World's Fair, known as the Auditorium Annex.
Oh, my God.
There's your history, folks. All right.
I feel educated already.
Let's get into the death, because that's what we're all here for.
Always.
All right. Cheers. Get your slurping glasses ready. In 1900, so only 7 years into it being opened.
Right.
In 1900, there was a captain of the Spanish-American War. He was a veteran named Lou. Lou was staying in the hotel, and this is where he committed suicide by gunshot to the head.
Mother.
His death was ruled to be accidental, however, because a lot of the people that they talked to, like his friends and family, were like, we don't know why he would have done that. He was in such good spirits. And he literally that day married his wife.
Whoa.
He like was just like, he had never shown any signs of there being any mental illness. And but they did know that he suffered from severe insomnia and night terrors. And so they think, like, you know, it's 1900. Everyone apparently just has a gun on them all the time. And so they think that in the middle of one of his night terrors, he probably woke up, thought he was still in one of his like violent dreams and shot himself by accident.
I'm sorry, look out the window. What is that? Do you see that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's someone soldering.
Oh, okay. I was like, is there an alien here now?
No, he's literally soldering the gate.
Okay. Well...
Sorry. Unscripted, and that's why we drink. All right.
I thought it was a UFO.
It looked like a UFO. It was
like
not a UFO.
Flashing outside the...
Also, I can't see anymore because I looked right into the light, which is why they have those helmets on, but I did not.
We should get one of those helmets just in case.
So anyway, they think that Lou's suicide by gunshot was accidental because he thought he was in one of his dreams.
That's so sad.
Yes. So then 2 years later, they started construction on the south tower of the hotel. And from 1902 to 1907, it was being built. But there is a rumor that during that time of construction, there is a worker who got trapped behind some of the walls. And so now they claim that they see a hand come out of the walls.
Wasn't his name Drywall Dave?
It certainly was.
So sad that's your legacy.
Drywall Dave. 1904, 2 years later, the hotel guests witnessed an elevator operator fall 70 feet to the bottom of the elevator shaft, and he was killed on impact.
That's like one of my biggest fears, falling down an elevator shaft.
But why? How often does that happen?
It doesn't, but it's just the concept of, like, you have no control if, like, an ele- I mean, it's more
I mean, I'm scared of, like, being in an elevator and then it dropping.
That's what I mean.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, an open shaft.
But also that.
So, like, I mean, when you notice?
I mean, he did it. I don't know.
I guess so. So, in 1904, there was a guest named Roy Gormley, and he was in the hotel's ballroom. He paid the orchestra $500. In 1908, $500.
That's a lot.
Paid the orchestra $500 to play the death march for him.
Ugh.
As he went to his room, and when he got there, he shot himself.
What the fuck?
Also in 1908, there was an attempted murder-suicide right outside of the hotel's entrance, where a woman named Ruby and her husband were shot by Ruby's lover.
Oh, jeez.
Both of them survived.
Oh,
fun fact.
I didn't realize that.
An attempted murder-suicide. He shot both of them, and then the lover shot himself.
Yeesh.
They stayed together, although after a few years they realized it wasn't working out and they got divorced.
Oh,
so
bummer.
Whoops.
That kind of puts a damp suicide kind of puts a damper on
I know. In 1916, a minor investor like mining.
Oh, not I thought
like,
you meant he was
not like,
like
he invested in children.
No, I thought he was like 14 and he was like,
oh yes, actually, I mean, back then you could be an investor at 14.
He worked on Wall Street. It's fine.
In 1916, an investor named Morse, him and his wife formed a suicide pact.
What?
And they, in room 312, which still exists of the hotel, they ingested cyanide capsules.
Oh my God.
She survived. He did not. And when they asked her what the fuck they were doing, she said that they accidentally took cyanide
That's
capsules.
Not a thing.
Because they believed that what they were taking were Epsom salt supplements.
And they just happened to have cyanide tablets on them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
Yes.
That sounds like spy shit.
Well, that's what they thought. So they sent her to a home. And from that home, she attempted to jump off the third floor window. Also survived.
What?
Like fucking Michael Malloy, but without the alcohol.
Michaela Malloy.
And Mr. David's dead. Mrs. David, after she tried jumping off of the third floor window,
right,
was then admitted into a psychiatric hospital. So
okay,
that was, they were like, okay, three strikes, you're out.
Probably about time.
In 1919, mm-hmm. I'm just running down the list. There's just so many deaths.
Go, go, go.
So much death. We love it. In 1919.
I mean, disclaimer, we don't, but it's.
Disclaimer, don't email us. We're clearly joking. We're not assholes. In 1919, a young woman was poisoned at a party being held in Congress. In Congress. Wow.
Congress used to throw these ragers.
Wow. Yeah, back when, like, the government was fun.
It's like solo cups
back
everywhere.
When Big Brother was Big Frat Bro.
big Frat Brother.
So they held, in the Congress Plaza Hotel, a young woman in 1919 was poisoned at a party in the Florentine Room.
Okay.
Or no, not in the Florentine Room. It's called, like, the Pomian Room. Very weird.
What?
Pomian.
Like
room.
Pomeranian?
That's what I keep calling it, the Pomeranian, and I was intentionally trying to not call it that, and then I accidentally called it a wrong name. Fuck me. So in 1919.
It's okay, Em. We're not mad about it.
I was really stressed out there. Could you tell?
Yes.
So she was poisoned in the Pomeranian room.
Okay.
In 1919, an opera singer also tried to attempt suicide by poison in the Pomeranian room.
Wait, what? Like, was she also at a party?
Or no,
was
it's just convenient.
Oh, my.
Congress had stopped throwing ragers by the end of the year, so.
It was no longer frat brother.
Right. In 1920, there was a group of guests in the hotel that decided to do shots of moonshine together.
Oh, boy.
Good times.
Good times.
However, it gave people severe poisoning and actually killed one of them.
Oh.
That's how you know the moonshine's too fucking strong.
Something's wrong with the
It was
moonshine.
Actually kerosene.
it was cyanide tablets. They just thought it was moonshine.
Right. It was actually Epsom salt. In 1926, a woman named Harriet accidentally fell 6 stories down the elevator shaft.
Oh my God, with the elevator!
Into the basement and was killed on impact of the basement. Splat.
Impact of the basement.
Impact of the basement.
Not into it. Not
like
into
not
it.
Impact of the air above the basement, which where is where
it's
she was
possible.
Falling. In 1928, a guy named G. Herb Palin.
Cool.
Suffered from a heart attack in the hotel.
Not cool.
What is cool is that he coined the term safety first.
Oh no. Wait, he died of a heart attack, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because
yes.
I had thought that he died falling down the elevator shaft, which would have been just so ironic, but
yeah, safety first.
Safety first.
Interestingly, like the man ate nothing but like fatty food his whole life. Right. But he's like safety first and then, you know, heart attack.
I mean, safety first means you board yourself up in your house, don't get any exercise.
Like, safety first, that's called the whole 30, right, Christine? And then you don't get a heart attack.
Clearly not, because I'm fucking shit up left and right, to be honest with you.
There's one of those famous throat clears.
Love it.
In 1939, this one's really sad.
Oh, no.
Do not tell me.
Do not tell you what?
What did you say, oh, no, about?
No. Oh, no, you said this one's really sad.
Oh, I thought you said, oh, no, and I was like, do not tell me this has not been recording again. I was about to get so goddamn mad.
I thought you were like, do not tell me, like, my own story. I was like, I don't even remember this story.
I was like, do not look at that computer
no,
and then
I'm
back
sorry.
At me.
I'm sorry.
Because your eyes were squinting, too, and I was like, are
sorry.
You trying to figure something out?
No, I'm not wearing glasses, and my grandma texted me.
That's probably how your grandma texts, without her glasses.
Oh, it's because my sister now wears size 10 shoes and she's 13.
Damn.
Yeah, so that's all.
Her and I have the same size feet.
Guess so.
Yikes. In 1939, during World War I and World War II, the Congress Plaza Hotel was used to house immigrants and refugees.
Oh, wow.
From war-torn countries.
That's kind of nice.
Very nice. V nice. Most people should probably be like this fucking hotel.
Nice AF. Except without the murder and elevator shafts.
Yeah, except without any elevators, actually, just in case.
Just don't.
Safety first.
You gotta just put slides or stairs. No, stairs are dangerous, too.
Well, it's just all, like, just kind of float around our own little hover bubbles.
Okay.
So, in 1939, one immigrant who was a Czech Jewish woman named Adele.
Mm-hmm.
She was staying in the hotel with her two sons.
Well, I already remember this. I'm sad again.
That's why I looked at you. I was like, I'm going to wait for it to click in your head what's happening. So they were in the country on a 6-month visa, and it was about to expire, or it had already expired, something along those lines. And her husband was supposed to be joining them, but he was not, like, they were not able to reach him. They didn't know where he was. They were afraid that maybe he already got deported.
Oh.
She was getting, like, very nervous, very, very paranoid that the government was on their way to deport them.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where she had herself a nervous breakdown.
Ugh.
And in 1939, she took her children to the zoo. They had a great day, brought them back to their room on the 12th floor, and threw them out the window. Then she jumped out of the window, and all three of them died.
Oh, my God. How old were the kids? Do we know?
4 and 6.
No.
What if I said 7 and 8? Would it have been different?
No. It's just all so sad. They went to the zoo and had ice cream and saw the monkeys.
Well, to be fair, in 1939, I bet ice cream sucked.
Also, the zoo was really depressing back then because they, like,
tortured animals.
Whipped lions. I made that up, but
I don't know. I'm imagining the 30s was a horrible time for zoos.
I feel like...
Or maybe better times because, like, there weren't all these PETA rules. Maybe you could, like, really get wild with the animals.
That's... No, but worse times for the animals because they...
I know, but in the 30s, no one had emotions.
Were abused.
Oh. Okay.
Right?
We're making a lot of assumptions, and I'm just going to
believe
all of
them. I know that
animals
were not treated well in zoos in the 1930s, for sure.
I agree with you there.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe let's just keep going.
Really? I think we're good where we are. Actually. Okay. Let's just stop right here.
Well, here's the sadder part of that story is that same day that she killed herself and the children, her husband was not reachable because he was surprising her at the hotel that night, showing up because he wasn't supposed to get there right away. And he found a way to get there earlier. Was going to surprise them at the hotel with the letter from Canada saying they had permanent residency there.
That makes my heart sink so awfully.
Yes.
That's so fucking tragic.
In the 1940s, there was a resident of the hotel who had a wooden leg, and he was having breakfast in the hotel when he suffered a heart attack too and
died. Oh
boy.
Oh boy.
Safety first.
Safety first.
In 1950, the security managers went upstairs to the room of a 25-year-old guest who owed them $104. He had an overdue unpaid bill.
Uh-oh.
I know. So the security managers knocked on his door, asked him about it. He let them in and said, yeah, can you just wait here? Let me go get my wallet. Came out with a gun and shot them point blank and then killed himself.
What? What is even the point of that?
In 1966, A lawyer was found in his room, naked and strangled by his own shirt.
Oh, no.
And his wrists and feet were bound together with his own socks.
Nobody knows what happened to him?
So this is the, like, during this whole time, there was talk that there was paranormal activity going on and that they were manipulating these people to hurt themselves. Because anytime there was a death that looked like someone was murdered, but no trace of an actual murderer, it was like the door had been locked from the inside and no one had ever followed them into the room. And like, there's no proof that anyone had ever
seen them.
Again, it's like
Cold War spy shit.
Yeah, it's very weird.
But so how would he have strangled himself with his shirt?
That's... Exactly. So like they think,
oh,
something paranormal happened.
Yeesh.
Or, I mean, this was a little later, but I'll get into this, but there was a lot of gang activity.
Right, true.
So maybe something happened and it slipped through the cracks. Who knows?
Got it.
In 1970, a woman committed suicide by slitting her wrists in the bathtub.
Oh, no.
And guests have reported seeing the dead girl's ghost appear in their bathtubs.
Oh,
and if not the see-through ghost, they have just seen a woman's dead body staring at them when they come into the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, like with the lights off and shit.
Dude.
It's also believed that an exorcism took place here somewhere in the hotel, and the staff refuses to confirm which room it took place in.
Oh, interesting.
But they don't deny that it happened.
Oh, so they're just like, we won't tell you where.
We won't tell you where.
What?
Just know that it happened.
No.
Additional deaths.
Great.
Because they don't have years. So I'm just going to list off these other deaths.
Okay.
There was a taxi driver who was staying there who jumped from the North Tower.
Oh my God, everyone's jumping out of the building.
There was a salesman who purposely threw himself down the elevator shaft.
Enough with the elevator.
There was a man who hung himself from a cupboard hook in his room. A cupboard hook. What was that thing made of? Metal?
Yeah.
I know, but like, how is it just hanging? I feel like if you hang a whole body on a little cupboard hook, how'd the whole door not fall off?
I mean,
I don't want to know. I tell myself that it's made of like shit IKEA wood.
No,
and like, it's just,
I'm sure it was.
I don't know. A homeless man was reportedly murdered in the alleyway behind the hotel.
Oh.
An insurance salesman was at the hotel, and then he walked into Lake Michigan and drowned himself.
What?
Another guest went into the hotel, where he then cut off all of his dry cleaner tags out of his clothes, burned all of his identifying paperwork, walked into the lake, and shot himself.
I told you, Cold War.
It's very...
Spies.
Obviously.
That's what they did.
So, this location, I know you haven't seen it, but for any of the people who are unfortunate enough to have not watched this movie, the movie 1408 is one of my favorite paranormal movies.
Right.
I just think it's very original, and I think that it's not one of those typical, like, oh, look around the corner, and then it's there. It, like, actually has its own interesting play out. And,
right.
It's actually about, it's John Cusack, and he stars as a writer who is a skeptic, about a haunted hotel. So he goes to this hotel, and then the room 1408 is this haunted room that is completely sealed off from the guests. No one's allowed to ever be in there because apparently any guest that ever stays in there cannot make it out alive within the hour because something compels them to kill themselves.
Oh no. And it's based off Stephen King's book, right?
A Stephen King book, 1408.
Have you read it?
I haven't read it.
I think it's really long, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, I wanted to read Stephen King's It, and it's like...
It's so long.
The audiobook is 11 hours.
Like,
woof.
I read The Shining, but not It.
I think I would get into 1408, I think. Because I like the movie.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a really good story, and it's super creepy, but I mean, there's a lot of parallels. Like, I haven't read the book, so I don't get to, like, really be a snob about this. But based on the movie, the hotel in the movie seems a lot like this hotel where anyone who has survived from their attempts in this hotel have all said that they felt like they were compelled to do it. Not that they actually wanted to waltzed in with the intention. They just, like, something caused them to want to do this. And so that's where a lot of people think that Stephen King's story 1408, it was inspired off this location.
Okay.
Also, just looking off my notes for once in my fucking life, it actually says Stephen King's short story 1408. So we might actually be able to read that pretty fast.
Oh, is it? For some reason, I thought it was long, but it might be because it's made of numbers.
1408 pages.
I was going to say maybe it's over 1,000 pages? I don't know.
Well, clearly, it says short story, but since it's Stephen King, maybe it's just the length of a normal story. So a lot of people believe that this hotel inspired Stephen King's 1408. However, a former employee has said that that is entirely fictional.
Oh.
And it comes actually from a woman named Ursula, who invented the entire thing up. Made it up for her, one of her own books. And then they even met her worked for her at one point and said, like, is it about Stephen King's? Like, is Stephen King's 1408 about this, like you said? And she said, well, no, but it makes a good story.
Ursula. You witch. Get it?
Didn't we talk about it last time? I think we said every Ursula we've ever met was just a horrible person.
Oh, yes, we did. Because
Phoebe's twin.
Ariel's Ursula. This Ursula, who's making shit up.
You said you knew an Ursula that you didn't like.
There's an old lady named Ursula who used to be really mean to me as a child and called me dumb and fat.
Yep.
She's an old German lady in Maryland.
Gross.
She was very mean.
So anyway.
So Ursula.
Good luck, Ursula.
Classic Ursula.
Classic Ursulas. Anyway, if you're an Ursula, it's nice. We're sorry for your name.
we pity you.
Honestly, Ursula, it's not us. It's you. So H.H. Holmes, like we said, was known to meet women in the lobby here before taking them back to his, quote, murder castle.
His grandma Myrtle's house.
his murder castle.
That's so fucked.
He would go around the lobby. He would see women looking for work and would offer them employment at his pharmacy.
Ugh, what a jerk.
Although people who have worked at this hotel have said that that's not true. And the hotel people talk about is actually a couple blocks away.
Oh.
But, I mean, like I said in the beginning,
we're going to Ursula this and pretend it's true.
Honestly, it just makes a good story. So. So when I said gang activity was involved,
right?
Al Capone's ghost has been reported in this hotel, both in the bar and the lobby, where we both know you'd be in the bar and I'd be in the lobby.
I don't know why you're in the lobby. I'd be, it's a good time in the bar.
He was known to frequent the hotel a lot. He had a lot of, quote, business meetings.
Fun.
At the Congress Plaza Hotel.
Those were very boring.
Oh, yes. Nothing out of ordinary.
A lot of
there,
PowerPoints, a lot of Excel sheets.
Yes. A lot of Ursulas, I'm
Sales
sure, in the crowd.
Ursula.
The hotel's basement was used for a lot of probably smuggling goods and having, like, some not so
savory
meetings. Some of his gang actually once held a prisoner, a guy. Well, he held a guy there and held him prisoner.
Oh, no.
And a lot of people want to connect Al Capone to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which I think at this point it's just assumed that he was connected, but they never had any true proof.
Right.
But the biggest evidence that they ever had on him being connected to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre is that a guy named Jake Guzik, who was known in his gang as Greasy Thumb.
Sorry, what?
Can you imagine if that's your
Greasy
fucking name?
Thumb?
I'm going to join a gang to be really cool and no one's going to so make sad. Fun of me. I'm going to be so tough. Everyone's going to take me seriously. My name's Greasy Thumb.
That's disgusting. Did he just suck his thumb or something?
I'm imagining it's like he had a slippery thumb, like he was quick to, like, pull a trigger or something. Like, slippery finger. I don't know what a greasy thumb has to do with anything. Oh, like, maybe like counting the money.
Oh.
Like how you, like, count through, like,
so he would,
one,
like,
two, three, four,
drop it all the time because he couldn't keep hold of it. It would just, like, fall out of his hands.
Sure, I was thinking more like he was just counting the stacks of hundreds.
That's probably more accurate.
But anyway, so greasy thumb.
Sure.
The biggest piece of evidence that they have of Capone being connected to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre is that Greasy Thumb called Al Capone from the lobby of the Congress Plaza Hotel minutes before and minutes after the shooting.
Aha.
So they're
called,
like,
his house in Florida, right? Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So a lot of stuff, and it wasn't just Al Capone's gang, but a lot of gangs were involved in that hotel. In fact, a lot of, Al Capone's associates and close friends actually lived in this hotel from the 20s to the 30s.
Oh,
so for like 10 years, they were like almost marking it as their gang territory.
Yeah.
And a lot of gangsters lived there. So it's very common for people to report ghosts of people that look like they're from the 20s and they're like making some sort of shady agreement.
That's so creepy.
Or like people will be looking around corners.
Ugh.
Or like people will see like a spirit looking around corners. And when you look to see what they're looking at, and you look back at them, they're already gone.
I know I said this last time, but can you imagine a guy in like 20s clothes with a gun just like coming toward you in the hallway? That would be terrifying.
Gross.
No. Gross.
I don't want that.
Nope.
Also, people have seen full body apparitions of Al Capone himself, as well as Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy's just there.
He's just hanging out. He's just checking in.
Get it? He's just checking in. Checking in.
Like a hotel.
But not checking out.
Nope.
This is called the Hotel California.
Apparently, Teddy Roosevelt made his announcement in this hotel that he was leaving the Republican Party.
Oh.
So that they think maybe he has some connection.
Explore new possibilities, pleasure zones, and find your vibe at funlove.com. Funlove.com is a leading online retailer of sensual health and wellness products, offering a wide array of premier brands of toys, lingerie, and accessories. I know I've talked about it before, but we received the most lovely gift basket from Funlove. First of all, I didn't know what it was at first, and then when I pulled out a vibrator, I thought, oh boy, this is not your everyday fruit basket. There was everything, I'm telling you, from sexy perfumes to toys to vibrators to lube. I mean, I gotta say, it's like a one-stop shop, okay? If you go to funlove.com and you're looking for maybe a romantic evening, either with a loved one or with yourself, they've got what you're looking for, I can promise you. So what are you waiting for? Explore, discover, indulge, and make love fun by visiting funlove.com. And if you live in Arizona or Colorado, check out one of their 18 store locations. Hey, maybe I'll stop by when I'm in town.
And for a limited time, you can save 30% off your first order when you use the code DRINK at funlove.com. Head to funlove.com today and use code DRINK at checkout to save 30% off your first order.
Visit funlove.com today.
We all want our cats to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes us happy too. But because we're not mind readers, we don't always know when they're unwell. And cats can be kind of standoffish about sharing their emotions and feelings. So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly, so there is no more cat bathroom smell. Hooray! Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in our cats, including urinary tract infection and kidney issues. And Pretty Litter ships free right to our door in a small, lightweight bag. This is ingenious, folks. Pretty Litter has been a part of our lives for many, many years. I just think it's the coolest product. It gives you the peace of mind knowing that you can sense something is wrong, depending on the color of the litter. And it's so much easier than going to the store and lugging all that dusty litter home. You know how that goes. And the smell. There's no smell. It's amazing. Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keeps odors down. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/ATWWD and use code ATWWD to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD to save 20%. prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's where it gets real good.
Oh boy.
A peg-legged man.
Sorry, I'm not laughing about his peg leg. I'm laughing about just this.
Like what's coming.
This derailed so hard last time we had this conversation.
It did.
Go on.
We're going to try to keep it real kosher this time.
Let's do it.
A peg-legged man has been seen all over this hotel. He's the most reported, and he's also like the most well-traveled. Like most people see a certain ghost in a certain room, right, another ghost in another room. But this guy, people just see this peg-legged man everywhere.
Yikes.
He's been given the nickname Peg-Leg Johnny.
Oh.
And a lot of people think that he could be one of three people.
I mean, everyone seemed to have a peg leg back then.
I mean, there were at least three to go off of.
That could possibly be in this one hotel. I mean, yeah. That's crazy.
So, the ghost of the peg-leg Johnny could be either the peg-leg guy who had a heart attack eating breakfast.
Right. Safety first.
Safety first. It could also be the homeless man that died in the alleyway.
Sad.
He got murdered in the alleyway, but he also had a peg leg.
Okay.
Or there are rumors that one of my long lost ancestors.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Holy shit. Could have been the ghost, because here's the thing. Back in the early 1900s, there was a murderer afoot.
A foot.
Only one foot, because he was peg-legged. And his name was Conway, the one-legged killer clown of 1912.
Guys.
So why Christine hasn't done a story on him, I do not know.
Because listen to his name. That's horrifying.
So everyone thinks it's either Breakfast Guy, Homeless Man, or Conway, the one-legged killer clown of 1912. 1812 was a war. 1912 was the clown. The year of the clown.
That's how you remember.
Right, yes.
There's a war and a clown. And
it's like the Chinese menus that they give you with like your animal year.
Right.
1912, the year of the clown.
It's the year of the dog, by the way.
Is it?
As of Friday. Chinese New Year is on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And it's year of the dog for Gio.
Baby G, so sweet. Which one are you? I'm a monkey.
I am a sheep or goat. I forget if it's a goat or a sheep.
Oh, I'm the monkey. Through and through.
Blaze is snake.
Typical.
Slytherin.
He is a little Slytherin. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's talk about Conway real quick. Okay. Apparently, I didn't want to read too much about it because if you do ever decide to.
Yeah, I'm going to story. For sure. This is amazing.
Apparently, he was a killer clown, and he escaped prison in 1925 and was never found.
Oh, God.
But the site of the murder that he committed was only, like, right up the road from the Congress Plaza
Holy
Hotel.
Holy shit.
So people think when he escaped, maybe he went back to the murder site and, like, stayed near the hotel or in the hotel.
Oh, God. Wait, so how come what if he died eating breakfast?
People think maybe that was him.
No way.
Or maybe he was the homeless man that got murdered.
Oh my God, so what if they're all the same person?
What if they're all the same person?
I mean, I don't know how.
Except they died twice.
Except.
As a homeless man.
What if there were two identical twins?
Oh, don't do that to me right now.
Okay.
Twin killer clowns.
Who both happen to have peg legs.
Gemini clowns. Mm-hmm. So, a shadow like. Oh, here's. Okay, so anyway, that's the end of that. People see a peg leg guy and they don't know who it is. Here's the next ghost.
Close the chapter.
Close that book. On to another. This is just a list now of all of the ghosts.
This one I remember being really freaked out. This is why I thought my bed moved.
Yep.
And instead it was just an earthquake.
I can't wait to tell Allison that.
Oh, I'm so annoyed.
So anyway, here's all the ghosts, guys, besides Pegleg Johnny. Who could be Pegleg Conway, by the way.
Or Pegleg Breakfast Eater. Yeah.
Excuse me. I God bored myself, it, apparently. These are the things Christine likes to edit out, but...
I like to a lot. I really enjoy it.
I think it's your favorite part. That's why we started a podcast. So you could edit out my yawns.
I just want you to make lots of bodily noises for me to edit.
I don't know how to control that. Okay. Brrr. A shadow-like figure has been seen standing by beds.
No.
When you wake up in the middle of the night before it dissolves away.
Mm-mm.
In room 441, there is a ghostly woman who shakes the bed inside the room in the middle of the night to wake you up, and then she's gone.
That's what I thought was happening in my room.
Oh, she showed up from room 441.
Oh, God.
Visitors claim to be kicked away by a shadow woman in the middle of their sleep.
Kicked away?
Like kicked out of their beds. Like kicked awake.
Oh, kicked awake.
Objects move. They hear eerie noises. And it's the room that most people leave in the middle of the night to go to another hotel.
Why are you staying there?
In room 474, the television channels and volume change constantly on their own.
Ugh.
In room 759, the door is allegedly pulled shut from the inside when guests try to enter the room, as if they don't want anyone coming in. In room 905... the phone in this room doesn't actually work, and yet if you ever pick it up, you can hear static running through it.
Oh.
There is also several reports through this hallway of paranormal activities, such as a little boy around 10 years old seen running up and down the hallways in knee-high breeches and button-up boots.
I bet he's so cute.
And the elevator... on the fifth floor of the South Tower, people report hearing moaning.
Oh, God.
I wonder why.
Awful. Oh, I forgot. We also added sound effects today.
many people have felt like they were being chased down the hall.
Oh, God.
Even when they're just staying there, they feel like someone's running at them.
That's awful.
They also hear a little boy laughing. Mm. That's pretty fucking creepy, too. Here's the thing that really freaks me out the most about this. A lot of people have reported shadow people coming out of a closet and approaching their bed. Sometimes they just kind of float out.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes they, quote, slither out.
No!
And other times they will army crawl in stop motion, choppy movements.
No, that's a fucking demon.
Yes.
No, I don't like that.
The thing for me is I wonder, like, at what speed they're going. Because if it's stop motion, choppy movements, but, like, a little too fast.
Oh, my God.
That's some, like, It the Clown shit. You can hardly process
what's happening.
That's Pennywise.
Fuck.
So, okay, so there's that.
Yikes.
Then there's Drywall Dave, who we know and love.
Love that guy.
Drywall Dave is the guy that supposedly was a construction worker that got stuck in the building.
Sad.
In 1905-ish. People have reported seeing a hand emerging from the wall from where he was allegedly buried, mm-hmm. as if he looks like he's trying to escape.
Aww.
However, this is the one story that employees, either former or current, have all said is not true. It's just a rumor that went a little too wild. And they even say that the wall that he would have been buried behind isn't nearly thick enough to trap a person. If he really needed to, he could have kicked his way through, or people would have heard him screaming. And also, that area of the hotel is not typically available to the public. Even the employees themselves only ever go through there a couple, like a handful of times.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like people, if people are seeing this, it's because they're in the wrong place and they shouldn't be seeing it anyway.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, all employees do say that's the only one that has no, like source.
Backing, yeah.
Yeah. There's also the gold room, which has been known to, by staff, all employees have said that it's always, always unlocked. No matter how many times you lock it, no matter what type of lock they put on it, they can try and deadbolt it and it'll still be unlocked when
that
they come back.
Crazy.
Strangely enough, the photographs, if you ever take a picture in front of the grand piano, if you take a photograph in front of it, usually one or more people will be missing from the photo.
That is wild.
So like if you and I took a picture together, I wouldn't be in it.
Or I wouldn't be in it.
Or you would.
Why do you get to be the one who disappears?
Sometimes I want to. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my.
Oh, it got dark. I'm kidding.
It's this fucking hotel.
It's the earthquake, guys. Also in this gold room, appliances are often like disconnected, turned off, like put basically in the middle of the room, and they will turn on by themselves.
Ew. So like a toaster in the middle of the room or something?
Yeah, like everything is unplugged when it's not being used, and that room hasn't been used in a long time. And yet all the appliances will turn on all by themselves. And then across there is the gold room where all the doors are being unlocked.
Oh, okay.
There's also the Florentine room where people will hear women whispering, men humming, piano music, organ music, wooden wheels rolling on a wooden floor, gunshots, screaming, etc. But upon inspection, it is always empty. Nothing is in there. No one is in there.
That really escalated.
In this room, this is also the room where Teddy Roosevelt said he was leaving the Republican Party. So,
and where he liked to roll his little wooden horse around.
Apparently so. Apparently he was like, wood and wood. Maybe people would use like that hoop game.
Oh, we talk about that. The stick, hoop and stick.
Hoop and stick on a wooden floor.
I mean, it has a very distinct sound.
It certainly
does. As I know very well.
Mm-hmm. On the 12th floor, the 12th and 4th floors are supposedly the most haunted floors, but the 12th one like holds the torch just by a hair.
Okay.
In hallways, people experience feeling paranoid, panic, dread, doom, and the sensation that they are being watched or chased.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Fun.
A 6-year-old boy is often spotted there, which is sad because that's the floor that a 6-year-old boy was thrown out of the window.
Oh no.
This floor is considered to be the most haunted, and many rooms are sealed off and are literally wallpapered over.
So that is so fucking creepy.
You can literally see like the lines of a door behind the wallpaper.
They're just like, doo, 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 doo.
Yep, like, never mind, nothing to see here.
We'll see past this ugly floral pattern.
The staff has said out loud that they have closed those parts of the hotel because they were literally, quote, too horrible.
What?
It has, quote, an unsettling number of rooms which are permanently closed off from the public due to paranormal activity. And the sealed doors don't even have doorknobs anymore. People will go up and knock on the imprints of the door, like that you can see through the wallpaper. They'll knock on them to see if anything happens, and they can hear hollowness, like there's a room behind it.
Oh.
If you try to piss off the ghosts on this floor, you will literally hear someone moving around in the room that is wallpapered over.
And also, you're an asshole, so don't do that.
Also, a few of the doors that have not been wallpapered over but are still sealed shut have padlocks and chains over them.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine the Yelp review? Like, look, it was all great until I saw a couple chains.
I can see it now.
So yeah, it's nice and spooky.
That's fucking creepy as hell.
A hotel security have also seen the shadow people and think that they're lost guests, so they'll try to like follow them and help them. And then when they turn the corner, they're gone.
Oh no.
The hotel is now much more strict about paranormal groups letting the groups go past the lobby. Sure. Like they won't even let them go past the lobby. They used to let them into their rooms and on the 12th floor and like do whatever they wanted. And it's apparently gotten so bad that now they're like, you can sit in the lobby and we can tell you stories, but you can't go past that far.
I mean, it's nice they at least let people in to talk about it.
There is one room. I'm assuming this is the exorcism room.
Oh, sure.
One can only guess.
Sure.
But staff members refuse to name which room it is, just like the exorcism room.
Playing hard to get.
But they have had multiple reports from multiple different guests that the photos hanging on the walls will rotate 360 degrees.
Oh, no. That is exorcism shit.
Mothers that stay on the 12th floor feel compelled to look over the 12th floor railing.
Oh, don't.
And think about jumping.
No, don't.
Just
don't,
like
don't.
The mother that threw her kids
down. Don't
did.
Stay there.
I have a quote of someone who stayed there.
Okay.
A little story. I turned off the TV, plugged in a portable fan in the bathroom for background noise, and laid down to go to sleep. Just as I started to drift off to sleep, I heard a crash from the bathroom. I went in to see what it was. My fan, which I'd plugged in and sat in the middle of a countertop, was unplugged and in the shower.
Oh, God.
Standing upright. At one point, I saw the cord to the lamp next to me swaying back and forth on its own. The closet door kept opening even when I shut it firmly, and worst of all, there were many, many voices. I heard voices on either side of the room, muffled and low enough that I couldn't hear the words, but definitely knew they were voices. It could have been other guests, but I guess I just don't usually hear a lot of people up and chatting at 3 a.m.
Oh.
And that's weird for me for the fan, like the fan that would, because I mean, like a lot of fans will like vibrate and like shake and fall off the countertop. But this one was unplugged and put on the other side of the bathroom.
And moved standing upright into the bathtub.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But still also made a crashing sound.
I was wondering about that.
Weird.
Maybe it just wanted his attention, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Yuck.
That's the worst part when it wants your attention. Like if it's just fucking around because it's bored, that's one thing.
You can
thing,
ignore it.
But it wants you to know.
Gross.
So, here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
Here's the last thing I'm going to do.
Go for it.
And I would appreciate.
Oh, no. Should we just insert that whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, this was something we cannot recreate.
I would appreciate if you could just put the whole clip of this experience.
I will.
So there is a room called in this hotel called Room 209. And it had a viral video a couple years ago where a woman stayed in another room of the hotel and called the front desk because she heard a female scream in the room 209. Heard her constantly screaming.
Yeah. Which was the room next to hers or something.
Right? Yeah, something like that. She called security, or she called the front desk. They called security. The security went. And there is security footage of what happened. You can only see the hallway and you can only see the security like go into the room, but you never see the room yourself.
Somehow that makes it creepier.
It's just very worth seeing. So I would just type in room 209, like poltergeist haunting, or
security.
Room 209 security footage ghost. Like just put like something paranormal.
Well, we can
paranormal.
Link to it too if you
yeah.
want.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put a link
to it.
Because I don't really know what I typed in. It was just a series of like words I knew Google would pick up on. But it's I played it for Christine and she freaked out a little bit.
No wonder I was scared that night.
It's really good and it's really juicy.
It's really creepy.
But basically that is the creepiest part of this, and that is the end of my story.
Okay, I'm going to insert that here.
Oh my God. 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 What the fuck, Em?
Yep. So, if anyone else has seen it...
That made me so uncomfortable.
So
that's some exorcist shit.
I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but I do feel like it's my job to tell you what we just saw.
Okay, so if you want to watch it by yourself,
just skip the next couple. Just skip the next. Press the little fast forward thing a couple times.
Yeah.
So a security guard walked in there. You can definitely hear the screaming, even on the footage. You can hear someone screaming in the hotel.
But so the camera is like CCTV, like the floor security camera.
Yeah.
So you see him, the security guy, at the door.
Yeah. And you can hear, like, the radio footage of him talking to security. And basically, he decides to go into the room to try and see where the screaming is or what's going on. Once he's in there, nobody is in the room. There's no one that should be screaming in there. However, all the furniture has been turned upside down, the carpet was ripped up, and the shower was on. And he immediately ran and left and called the police.
I think what's spooky about it is that he goes in and you're like, what's going on? What's going on? You don't see any of this stuff. But then he kind of like
backs out of the room. The fuck out.
And then the guy in the security is like, okay, Brian wants you to call the police. He says no one's in there, but all the furniture has been turned upside down. And the guy is like clearly spooked the fuck out.
Yeah, he's clearly terrified.
Oh my God, that really freaked me out.
Well, good. That's the end of my story.
There's something about him like backing out of that room, like
it's seeing someone's true parent. It's a reaction.
Yeah.
You never get to see any paranormal stuff on footage, and especially never get to see anyone's reaction to paranormal stuff on
footage.
Especially
like a security guy,
a poor guy who was like probably working graveyard shift and thought that nothing was gonna happen, and then all of a sudden he has to go into this room. And all the furniture is sitting upside down waiting for him, and the shower is turned on.
Yes, you can hear screaming. It's
you
like
can straight
really
up hear a girl screaming.
It's really
loud. I have full goosebumps.
Me
right
too.
Now.
I don't like it at all, and I'm mad that you didn't let me close the blind. I'm so mad.
I'm sorry. I have those goosebumps where they're like, they're so raised, they're itchy.
Yeah.
So I'm like having
yeah.
to scratch myself to calm myself down. Oh, wait, my gravity
blanket.
Yay!
Wait, why do you get one?
I don't know. I don't know why everyone was so nice to me. I don't deserve it.
Everyone loves you because you're great.
Okay.
Is everyone nice and freaked out?
Are you scared? Did you watch it?
Ugh, gross.
Gross.
Anyway.
That was beautiful.
While I have the floor right now.
Go for it.
I would like to have a guest on the show.
Huh? Who?
Deirdre.
What?
Because Deirdre was wondering if she could tell you about how haunted her house is.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We get a surprise ghost story in here?
You down?
Hell yes.
Okay.
How do we do it?
I'm just going to call her on speakerphone.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Hello. Can you talk real quick for the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Is we're it ready.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Hey, girl.
Okay, so Deirdre is on the line, and I recently told my story about...
The groping ghost.
The ghost that groped me at Deirdre's house, and then Deirdre's like, oh, yeah, I have more stories from that house.
Okay.
So, Deirdre, take it away.
Okay, so first I wanted to say that you thought I was grabbing your ass. You thought, like, my hand was literally, like, on your ass the whole time.
Yes.
And so you, like, the way you found out it wasn't me was because you, like, literally turned and looked with your flashlight. And you're like, you're holding my ass right now and there's nothing there.
No. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
I was like, there's nothing there. Okay, so, I don't know why I didn't tell you this, but... I've had a couple of ghostly experiences, and one of them is, like, very benign, and the other one was terrifying.
Oh, tell me.
So, I think there might be different ghosts. So, I think that one...
Great.
I think that one's, like, the mischievous one, who I think he likes to play
he's
jokes on
me. He's a pervert.
Because I was in the shower one time.
Oh,
and I know. I, like, left... And I think it's because I left the door to the bathroom open, like, into my room. I swear to God, so, like, the ghost could go. It's so stupid. But, like, I shut the door every time now. Because I dropped my razor in the shower, and I was just being lazy. So I, like, I just forgot about it for a couple minutes. And then I went down to, like, grab it, and it was gone. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, where's the razor go? So I was, like, looking around the tub, and I... like pulled back the curtain and it was like sitting on the opposite side of the bathroom.
No.
Like, I swear to God.
Oh my
like,
God.
I'm out of the tub to move it. So I know I didn't fucking move
what?
It.
What?
Oh my God. That's so wild.
It's very creepy. It was just like, I don't know.
And so now you close the door as if he won't like just walk through the door.
He's like, oh shucks. I can't get in.
I need to take some kind of precaution.
What's the traumatizing one?
Scary one. Luckily, like, it didn't happen directly to me, but it involved me. So, I'm the only girl in a house of five guys, and the guy who lives below me is Joe. And so, one night, I, like, passed out, pretty early, and I usually go to sleep like after midnight, and Joe is down in his room, and he says that he heard a woman like loudly scream, "Oh my God." Like, he was convinced it was me. Like, he said it was my voice. So he, and this was at, like, 3 in the morning. So he came upstairs and, like, opened my door and, like, looked in at me. And I was, like, completely peaceful.
That's so creepy.
And it was, like, a blood-curdling, like, scream.
What?
Oh, so, no.
I was scary when I woke up in the morning. I was like, thank God he didn't wake me up and tell me that.
That's horrifying.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, did you ever do any, like, research on the house or anything?
I've tried to. I know that it was built in the 1930s. And the other thing is, I should have showed you while you're here. My roommate upstairs has this really creepy room that has a secret. It has, like, a hidden room.
No.
Yeah. So if you go through his closet, there's, like, this little door, and you open it, and then you go in, and it's, like, this tiny little attic room.
Oh, window. God.
With a window? It has, like, a window? Yeah. And, oh, God.
Yeah. Old window in there.
Well.
Yeah. I don't know.
So creepy.
I don't feel, like, not safe, but it's still creepy.
I would feel unsafe. I mean, I guess I didn't when I got, you know,
my... Poltergroped.
When I got my ass grabbed.
Your ass. Like, I didn't... You weren't scared, though, were you?
It was one of those, like, we both kind of laughed because there was nothing else we could do.
No, there's nothing that we could do.
But I remember I looked at you and I was like, what the fuck were you doing? And you were like, I'm literally all the way over here.
I really didn't do anything.
Well.
I couldn't have done anything.
Oh, God.
While we have you, are there any, like, stories you want to tell about your house growing up?
Yeah. Oh, I meant to give the shout out before. So my good friend... Kara Sapphos, who you know too, her house is, like, extremely haunted and terrifying, and she, like, she's been, like, locked out of her house before. She, like, goes out, like, the back door onto her patio or the backyard and, like, gets locked out, and she, like, has heard cannons going off.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's really wild, and I've, like, heard, she says she hears it pretty, frequently, and I've heard it, I think, one time. I've had just, like, all kinds of really creepy nightmares, and I used to sleepwalk a lot in that house, or I think, because I would wake up and with, like, all the lights on, and I'd be in different places.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Creepy dreams. Like, I had this one dream where I thought it was real because everything was, like, the same, and I was laying in bed, and there was somebody at my door, and I could hear it, like, but I couldn't move. I was, like, frozen. And then they opened my door, came around to my bed, and I just felt, like, the most evil presence. And it was standing, like, right next to me, went down to touch me.
Oh,
and
no.
And then I up, and I, like, I slept with my mom that night.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
There's some creepy, like, spots. You know, too, Em.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of weird shit in your house. I mean, there's one room in Deirdre's house that whenever I slept there, I only slept in that one room because it was the only room I felt safe in.
Yeah, Em will only sleep in the sunroom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty creepy house.
Yikes.
Well, I remember Deirdre used to sing, like, used to sing throughout the house, and you had to turn out all the lights so that, like, the spirits couldn't get you.
That's my, oh, yeah, and my mom. Okay, my mom's room, there's something definitely weird about that. Like, she's been in there before, and she's had things thrown at her. Yeah, she's had things thrown at her, and she recently just sent me a video of my cat, like, I swear to God, playing with a ghost, and I sent it to you, Em. I don't know if you watched it, but you can see the orbs and shit. I swear it's gotta be, I think it's my cat Princess, but I don't know.
What the fuck?
You have to see it, it's very creepy.
Weird.
Sage that always, shit.
Like, freezing in the room.
Well, alright, thank you.
Thanks, perfect. Deirdre.
I'll call you back afterwards.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, we miss you.
I miss you guys too. I have to come back and visit.
Please do.
Okay, love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Whoa.
Anyway, that I've been trying to get Deirdre on the show for a couple episodes and we keep missing each other, but
that was because it's good that I was sober and fucked shit up, right? Do you forgive me yet?
Oh yeah, no, I do. And she's been wanting to tell me her stories anyway, so I was like, don't tell me until the show. Don't tell me until we're recording.
I want to
so.
See this cat video.
She did not send it to me. She's lying through her teeth. So we'll have to.
What a liar.
I know. All anyway, right. Guys, you gotta, if you want to go listen to Deirdre's personal stories and some of my childhood and her personal story that she wrote for the episode or that she put together.
Yes.
I think it was episode 19 that Deirdre was in. So
perfect. Go it was a it good, out. It was a really good, people really liked that one.
Good. So, all right. I wanted to put that in before we switched gears from paranormal to true crime. So
yes, please go check that out. Okay. So let's go to true crime. That's me, baby.
Yay. How you doing?
I have a wedgie.
Yay.
I'm sorry, it's empty. Do you want another LaCroix?
No, I'm good. Okay. I want to hear your story.
This is the story of Ward Weaver III.
Ooh.
We received the suggestion in an email from Andrea and Aaron.
Yay, Andrea and Aaron.
Thank you guys, because I did not know about it. So mine's kind of similar to yours in that it's like a timeline of just awful shit happening.
Love it.
So I'm just going to go straight into it. Excuse me. So this guy, this mofo, mm-hmm. Ward Weaver. He was born on April 6, 1963 in Humboldt County, California. In 1967, when he was four, his father abandoned the family, and a few years later, his mom married a guy named Bob Boudreau, who was an abusive alcoholic, and they all relocated to Portland, Oregon.
Love it. Not Maine, I know.
Not to be confused with Portland, Maine. which, by the way, we hear you guys, we want to go to both.
Yes.
His stepfather would beat him relentlessly and was an extremely heavy drinker. Sometimes his mom would literally make a bed in the backseat for the kids and drive around town looking for her husband at all the bars. It's just really,
that's so sad.
Really sad. And the kids said they would be really happy when they didn't find him because it meant
he was abusive, right?
Yeah, they meant that he didn't have to come home with them. At age four, Ward fell out of the second story window of their house. To calm him down, his stepdad gave him a dollar, and then a short time later, his mother caught him trying to jump out the window again because he wanted another dollar.
Exactly the kind of entrepreneur I'd probably be at four, too.
The entrepreneur we all need. But
it's
also,
like, look, do or die. You gotta hustle, right?
But also the head injury that probably creates a serial killer. So
we'll
see. As a teenager, Ward began to exhibit antisocial behavior. Fun. His sister Tammy later said he physically and sexually abused at least one family member by the time he was 12 years old.
Jesus.
His half-brother Robert said Ward frequently beat him. He would stand him up against a tree, wrap a dog chain around him as if he were about to be burned at the stake.
Oh my God.
And then he would face his little brother's nose inches from the neighbor's fence, howling with laughter as the neighbor's dogs leapt against the fence, jaws snapping just inches from his face.
Jesus Christ.
Ward, who is much larger than his brother Robert, would often beat him. And Robert said he invented a technique to withstand the pain where he would take a deep breath and hold it for as long as he could, which was usually several minutes. And he would get delirious from no oxygen, which helped him to distract from the beating.
Jesus, that's so sad.
So sad. And Tammy, his younger sister, said it took months. I mean, not months. I'm sorry. It took years of therapy to even recover from all of this torture.
Yeah. I'd imagine that's like lifelong therapy.
Yeah. Jesus. I can't even imagine. She said he would shoot her in the back with a BB gun. And then in 1981, when Ward was 18, a teenage relative of his reported that he had repeatedly raped and beaten her.
Fuck.
So police prosecutors decided not to pursue charges because Weaver had enlisted in the armed services and would be leaving Portland soon. So they just let it go.
Yeah.
Great move.
Of course.
Soon after that, Ward graduated from high school, joined the U.S. Navy Reserve, but he was discharged after only a year for heavy drinking and dereliction of duty. But while he was in the Navy, he met his future wife, 19-year-old Maria Stout, who was a woman from the Philippines. They moved in with Ward's parents, and she quickly became pregnant.
Oh, moment of silence.
Yep.
Moment of silence for Maria.
Sorry, Maria. 5 months into the pregnancy, Ward, who was also 19, slapped her, pulled her hair, and banged her head against the bed, sending her to the hospital.
Fuck.
Ward was arrested, but she refused to press charges. and their son Francis was born in December of 1982.
I wonder how that kid's going to turn out.
Yeah, we'll find out. So he and Maria married in 1984 and relocated to Bakersfield, California. And he later explained that part of the reason he wanted to move there was to reconnect with his own father, who had abandoned the family at age when he was four.
Okay.
And it turns out that his father was actually at the time on trial for capital murder.
Oh, great. So we got two generations of murder.
Yeah, so far. It turns out that in 1981, his father had picked up an 18-year-old Air Force recruit, Robert Radford, and his 23-year-old girlfriend, Barbara Lavoie, near the Mojave Desert after their car broke down. He beat the man to death with a piece of pipe.
Fuck.
Took the woman on the road with him, raping her repeatedly. Then, when she struggled and bit his thumb, he strangled her with a diaper.
Fuck.
It's just so...
Oh, my God.
It's so bad. He buried the woman beneath a concrete slab behind his house in Oroville, California. And for help, he enlisted his 10-year-old son to dig the hole.
Oh, no.
He told his son they were looking for a broken sewer pipe. But when his son went to school, he covered the body with concrete and dirt and built a wooden deck over her grave.
Jesus.
He was caught pretty soon after that, and a jury deliberated only 42 minutes before declaring him sane enough to stand trial. He was sentenced to death by gas chamber.
Oh, wow.
Remember that whole thing?
I do. Tell me all about gas chambers.
Gotta tell you about gas chambers.
I want to know.
So this is information I got from deathpenaltycurriculum.org, and I explained in our last recording that I just was like, wait, what? Gas chamber. And I went
on. Same difference.
So what a man, exactly. So I went on a little research spree, and it's very fascinating. So apparently in 1924, the use of cyanide gas was introduced because Nevada was seeking a more humane way of executing its inmates. The first person to be executed by lethal gas was named G. John, and the state tried to pump cyanide into his cell while he slept, but it proved impossible because the gas leaked from his cell, which led them to construct what is now known as the gas chamber.
Yay.
So today, five states actually authorize lethal gas as a method of execution, but they all have injection as an alternative method. So I guess that means you get to decide?
Yeah, you get to pick.
Okay. A federal court in California found this method to be cruel and unusual punishment, and the last use of the gas chamber was on March 3rd, 1999, when Walter LeGrand, a German national, was executed in Arizona. So what they do to execute someone is they strap them into a chair in an airtight chamber. Below the chair rests a pail of sulfuric acid. A long stethoscope is affixed to the inmate so the doctor outside the chamber knows when to pronounce death.
Which is so weird. Let's stop there real quick.
Yes.
Literally the other day, I was hanging out with Mr. Christine, aka Blaze. And he was telling me all about this new Bluetooth stethoscope.
He loves his Bluetooth stethoscope.
And he was talking about how you can like hear heartbeats from afar and shit. Do they use that for these? Or
no,
like,
it says
how
it's
they...
a long stethoscope.
So it's like a... Okay. So
I
it's
think
like
they literally attach it, affix it to the person, and then it like trails out to the doctor.
Oh, I was thinking for a second it was like a Dixie cup, string Dixie cup kind of thing for a stethoscope.
I mean, honestly...
Well, these days they would have a Bluetooth stethoscope,
probably,
according to Blaze. So
Blaze would know.
Anyway.
This is really sad. They instruct the prisoner... Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, so right. So they have the long stethoscope. Once everyone has left the chamber, the room is sealed. The warden gives a signal to the executioner, who flicks a lever that releases crystals of sodium cyanide into the pail, which causes a chemical reaction that releases hydrogen cyanide gas. Then, this is fucked up, the prisoner is instructed to breathe deeply to speed up the process of death.
Ugh.
But obviously most prisoners try to hold their breath. It's instinct. I mean, what are you gonna do? And some struggle against it.
I would imagine all of them struggle against it. Jesus.
The inmate does not lose consciousness immediately. According to former San Quentin, California penitentiary warden Clifton Duffy, quote, "At first there's evidence of extreme horror, pain, and strangling. The eyes pop, the skin turns purple, and the victim begins to drool."
Jesus.
Just really sad. A man named Carol Chessman died in California's gas chamber in 1960. But before he was executed, he told reporters that he would nod his head if it hurt. Witnesses said he nodded his head for several minutes before passing away.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's just really fucked up. And then afterward, what they do is an exhaust fan sucks the poison air out of the chamber. The corpse is sprayed with ammonia to neutralize any traces of cyanide. And about half an hour later, orderlies enter the chamber wearing gas masks and rubber gloves and are trained to ruffle the victim's hair to release any trapped cyanide gas before removing the corpse. Is that not just so twisted?
Any chance this cyanide is Epsom salt?
It's actually, they bathe in Epsom salt.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, so Ward's dad was sentenced to death by a gas chamber.
Jesus.
And that's how he died. So on June 15th, 1986, when Ward was 23, he had had a fight with Maria, his wife. And then he'd gone out and consumed 6 beers, 6 vodka screwdrivers, a little marijuana, and a gram of powdered speed.
Yay.
Yeah. And the teenage daughters of one of his friends actually found him outside a bowling alley, and he asked for a ride, so they were driving him home. They knew him pretty well as family friends. He said he had to pee, so the girls pulled over the van. He got out of the car, then opened the passenger door, and hit the 15-year-old sister Jennifer in the head with a block of concrete.
Fuck!
Then he grabbed her 16-year-old sister, who was driving the car, in a headlock, pulled her to the floor, and started choking her. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And the 16-year-old girl said it was like a different person had possessed his body, and he was just like
crazy,
losing it, and like didn't listen to anything. And she's like, we know you, Ward, like you're our friend, and...
Oh, my God.
So once he got out of prison, he and Maria relocated to Canby, Oregon, where they began operating a gift shop together, which sounds very quaint.
Yeah. Interesting.
They gave birth to their 4th child because they had other ones.
A whole fucking litter. Jesus.
Her name was Mallory, and with an I.
Okay.
In 19...
With a heart.
With a heart over the I.
Yep.
And maybe some glitter. In 1989. In 1993, Maria filed a restraining order against him. They got divorced. He quickly found a new girlfriend who was fresh out of high school, 18-year-old Christy Sloan. And a mutual friend had actually set them up on a date, which, like...
Good fucking friend.
That's not a friend.
That's not a friend.
That's someone who wants you to lead a miserable life.
That's a fucking enemy.
That's someone looking for revenge for something you did.
Yeah, for sure.
So this friend sets them up at a showing of Jurassic Park, and they got together. He grew really controlling with her. He forbid her from cutting her hair or even leaving the house alone. One night, he beat her with a cast iron skillet.
Fuck.
And he was jailed for that, but Christy told a prosecutor she was too scared to testify against him, so the charges were dropped.
Oh,
it's just so sad. And then by October, they were back together. By February, they were married. In 1999, Ward and Maria's son, Francis, who was now 17 and was living with his father's half-brother in Idaho, shot a rifle into a truckload of teenagers and injured his best friend who was in the car. So no one was killed, but he shot his best friend and served several weeks in juvie.
And he did that on purpose?
Yeah.
He intentionally shot at a group of people, including his best friend.
Inside a car, yes.
Fuck!
I mean, it's lucky no one died. In August 1997, Ward, who was still married to Christy, began an affair with a woman he met at work, and they eventually moved into his rental house in Oregon City. His 12-year-old daughter, Mallory, became...
With the eye.
With the eye. Mallory with the eye heart. Became friends with 2 girls named Ashley Marie Pond and Miranda Diane Gaddis. So they were all students at Gardner Middle School together. We're all 12 years old, and we're all also in the same dance class. So they became really close, had sleepovers together, all that good stuff. In August of 2001, Ashley, who was 12 at the time, accused Ward, so her friend's dad, of attempting to rape her at his home while she was over for a sleepover.
No.
Police did not investigate the charges.
Why?
Because the world sucks. I have no idea. On the morning of January 9th, 2002, so a couple months later, Ashley Pond left her home at the Newell Creek Village Apartments to walk to the nearby bus stop on her way to school, but she never arrived. Everyone began searching for her, including Miranda, the dance team that both of them were members of organized a fundraiser to help in the search for Ashley, and that fundraiser was scheduled for March 23rd, 2002. On the morning of March 8th, 2002, Miranda, the other friend, vanished.
Oh, no.
This is when the FBI got involved and started a task force to search for the girls. After both girls had vanished, our pal Ward told his son that he needed help digging a hole outside.
No.
For the hot tub that he was installing. So they dug a hole in the backyard and covered it with concrete. Which, think about the parallel between that and his father.
Both needing someone to help dig holes.
Which he, asking their son to help dig a hole out back.
Weird.
And also, he didn't know that about his dad. So yeah. It was like completely, it's just creepy.
Coincidental.
Yeah. So when Ward became a suspect, he was interviewed by several local news outlets. In an interview with the Oregonian, he stood on top of the concrete slab and explained to reporters, "I'm putting in a jacuzzi. The last time I checked, that wasn't against the law." So everything fell apart on August 13, 2002, when Ward raped his son's 19-year-old girlfriend.
Okay.
Throttling her neck as she tried to resist.
Fuck. Okay. That's horrible. That's just, oh my God.
Ward's son, Francis, himself called 911, and while talking to the dispatcher, said that his father had killed Ashley and Miranda. So finally, investigators had a warrant, had a reason to search the property. So they found Miranda's remains in a shed in the backyard, and they found Ashley's body underneath the concrete that he had recently poured.
Jesus.
On October 2nd, 2002, Weaver was indicted. And last time I read every charge he was indicted on, but it's, let's just say it's a lot. 6 counts of aggravated murder, abuse of a corpse, sexual abuse, attempted rape, sexual abuse in the first degree, sexual abuse in the second and third degree. And so to avoid the death penalty, Ward decided to plead guilty to murdering his daughter's friends. He received 2 life sentences without parole for the deaths of Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis. And I know I said this last time, but can you imagine being poor Mallory and just...
I know, like your dad killed and probably raped both of your... Oh, and definitely raped one of them, right?
Yeah.
Oh, your 2 best friends.
Like, you literally have friends over 12 years old for sleepover. I mean, that's so tragic for her, too. So she was obviously taken out of his custody, obviously.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Don't know how she is today, but that's probably for the best. Hope she can live somewhat of
lifelong therapy.
Good life. Okay, Miranda's sister, one of the girls who was killed, her older sister, later found out how Ward had abducted her. He actually gave her an explanation from prison. So what he did, he saw her walking up the hill to the school bus and thought she had seen something shady he was in the middle of doing. So he panicked and told her that her friend Ashley was inside and really wanted to go home. He told her she was scared and that Miranda needed to come help her. So she went with him into his house. And he also told her that he told Miranda's sister that he killed Ashley because he was afraid he'd get arrested for raping her. Fucking asshole.
Wow.
And if that's not enough, in March of 2016, Francis Weaver, the son himself, was sentenced to life in prison for murdering a man, making Francis part of 3 generations of murder.
Jesus.
Grandfather, father.
Do we know if Francis ever had any kids? Like, could that be like...
I don't know, actually. Not that I know of. I think he was pretty young when he was arrested.
Okay, well, let's hope there's another 4th generation.
Yeah. So that's the story of Ward Weaver III.
Weird.
And that mofo and his dad and his son and yikes. And this is now a little outdated, but I have a Geoscope.
Yeah, okay.
To give to all the Scorpios.
Good, good, good.
And to Geo. And here it is. Although you are very down to earth, at times you can also be very dry in the way you express yourself.
True.
That's true. Talking about your feelings may be something you try to get out of the way as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The current astral aspect encourages you to put a little more fire and originality into your voice when talking to your love.
Me.
That's M. Say it like you mean it.
Come on, G.
Come on.
Come on. All I do is just tell you how much I love you. There's no reason. There's no reason to hold back. I'm not gonna leave you.
Don't hold back.
I love him so much.
So that's that.
Thank you guys for listening again. Oh, wait. Unless you're a patron, donor, a Patreon donor. Are you
a patronator?
You have the a patronator. You have the option to listen twice. You two different versions.
Two different versions. They're different. This is
hopefully
too.
The better one.
Let's hope.
Thank you for listening and being fans of ours and everyone giving us shout outs about how we got a shout out in New York Times. That's awesome.
Yay.
And like in the, like the real newspaper too, not just like a digital article.
It was
like, it's front, in print.
Front page of the arts section, baby.
Oh, it's amazing. C7.
We're so proud.
Guys, just thank you so much. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, ATWWD podcast. We also have our website, and thatswhywedrink.com. We have our email, and thatswhywedrink@gmail.com, where you can send us your personal stories. We put out a new listeners episode every first of the month. We have what else do we have?
We have a store,
and that's why we drink. Yes. .bigcartel.com.
Right.
We also have our personal social media, XTeenSchiefer and TheMSchultz. And
Geo Takes LA.
I think that's about it, right?
Yes. We love you guys so much. Come to CrimeCon. Come meet us. ATWWD to get a discount on your badge for the weekend. We know it's expensive, but it's a whole weekend that you get to hang out with us, and we really want you to be there.
Yes.
So come meet us in Nashville.
Also, thank you, Deirdre, for being on the show.
Thanks, Deirdre. That was really fun, and it was a nice surprise.
All right. Well, see you next week.
I don't have a glass, so I just have to clink my empty LaCroix can.
And that's why we drink. No, that's when we just do the sound. Just insert the cling sound of the song.
Cling,
cling.
That's just so much more work for me.
Okay, then don't do it. Here, you do the clink and I'll do the...
Okay. Cling.
Ugh. Okay, never mind. That was... Okay.
Enough bodily noises, Em.
Yep. Okay, we're done.
Bye, guys.